The Gospel according to Luke, the 13th chapter. About that time, some people came up and told Jesus about the Galileans Pilate had killed while they were at worship, mixing their blood with the blood of the sacrifices on the altar. Jesus responded, "Do you think those murdered Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans? Not at all. Unless you turn to God, you too will die. And those 18 in Jerusalem the other day, the ones crushed and killed when the Tower of Siloam collapsed and fell on them, do you think they were worse citizens than all other Jerusalemites? Not at all. Unless you turn to God, you too will die." Then Jesus told them a story. A man had an apple tree planted in his front yard. He came to it expecting to find apples, and there weren't any. He said to his gardener, "What's going on here? For 3 years now, I've come to this tree expecting apples, and not one apple have I found. Chop it down. Why waste good ground with it any longer?" The gardener said, "Let's give it another year. I'll dig around it and fertilize, and maybe it'll produce next year. If it doesn't, then chop it down." The Gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from God, who meets us as God our Creator, Jesus Christ our Savior, and Holy Spirit our Helper and Sustainer. Amen. The people of New Zealand continue to deal with and slowly trying to make sense, if this is possible, of a massacre of 50 Muslims in Christchurch, the nation's capital. In Iraq, an overloaded ferry boat sinks into Tigris River. 97 persons are reported dead and 60 persons are missing. Tropical cyclone Idai struck southern Africa and especially the nations of Malawi, Mozambique, and Zimbabwe, causing around 700 dead and hundreds missing, and the toll continues to rise. Rivers and streams are at flood stage in the Midwestern United States as the water keeps going down the Missouri River and on its way to the Mississippi River. And of course, the other big news item, two Boeing 737 MAX passenger airliners crashed within 5 months of each other. We've all known and experienced tragedies, especially tragedies where people have been injured and or have died. These tragedies include automobile accidents, natural disasters, which we're experiencing now, storms and earthquakes, illnesses, suicide, and the list goes on and on and on and on. Seems like life isn't for the faint-hearted, is it? When we've experienced these tragedies, we often talk about them and ask what happened, and simultaneously we wonder, why did it happen? In today's reading from Luke, there was a group of folks around Jesus who asked and wondered about two particular tragedies. These folks shared information and told Jesus about the deaths of Galileans who were killed by Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor of Judea, while they were at worship, and the deaths of 18 persons when the Tower of Siloam fell on them. The people around Jesus talked about these tragedies. They also wondered why these people had died. These folks then asked and wondered if these folks who died untimely deaths were being punished by God. Because, well, in Jesus' day, if a person died an untimely death, this person may have been a worse sinner than other people. That's one interpretation of these tragedies. And so thinking about the person who died an untimely death, folks are wondering, was that an unclean person who was being punished as a consequence of their sins? Recall that the thinking was based on the fact at the time, and still is, the wages of sin is death. Jesus' response to the people around him was an emphatic no to what was on the minds of these people. The people who were killed by Pontius Pilate or who died when the tower fell in Siloam weren't worse sinners. They did. In other words, Jesus doesn't want these people and us to look for death, nor to focus on death. Instead, Jesus called on the people around him and on us to focus on God, to focus on the life we have each been given by God, and to focus on God as a way to life and a way of life. And if we seek life, if we don't want to die, then Jesus calls us to repent, to turn around. Repentance leads us to God, to life, and away from sin. However, we need to deal with the reality that all of us are sinners. There are times when we have amnesia about that, or we deny the fact that we are sinners. But yet, if we look at our experiences, and we're gathered here, we all know that none of us is perfect. We all mess up, we all make mistakes, we fall short of God's expectations and of God's laws for us. We do things that we don't want to do, and simultaneously, we don't do the things that we ought to do. We aren't always attentive to God. There are times when we forget about God, and simultaneously, there are times when we actually turn away from God. We're all caught up and stuck in that web spun by the human condition we know and experience as sin. We are imperfect people living in an imperfect world. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Sin is all the stuff that interferes with, separates, damages, and breaks God's relationship with us and our relationship with God and our relationship with one another. Recall again that the wages of sin is death. Sin leads us away from God. And when we're separated from God, we're separated from life because God is life. God is the source of life. In other words, sin is the way and path to death. To break the bonds of sin, to move away from sin, Jesus calls us to repent. Since sin is the stuff that leads us away from God towards death, repentance means to turn around, make that 180-degree turn, and move towards God and move towards life. In other words, repentance is not a bad word. It says turn around, make a U-turn, correct that mistake. Repentance is God's call for us to return to God. And if we don't, and if we want to live, now is the time to repent. Don't delay. Don't wait. Don't procrastinate. Repent now. And I'm sure that's why you're here for worship, right? Now is the moment to repent and to return to God. Now is the time for change in each of our lives. Now is the opportunity to turn away from sin and to be renewed by God this day and every day of our lives. Now is the time to experience God's grace and to be watchful for God. Now is the time to repent. Another way for us to look at repentance is daily we die to sin and rise with Christ. I mean, isn't that the promise? We die to sin, we rise with Christ. Repentance is a process that leads us towards recovery from sin and helps us to be recovering sinners every day of our lives. So what will lead us to repentance? What will help us to stay focused on God? Well, during the season of Lent, we often speak of disciplines which help us to focus on, to repent, and to turn toward God. And some of the disciplines are obvious. The fact that you are here at worship is a discipline. How many of you have perfect attendance? Okay. Practice. Okay, come every Sunday or every time we offer worship opportunities because it's a discipline. It's something that we need to do on a regular basis because we want to gather together, experience Christ together. And it's a way of, again, every week, at least once a week, focusing our attention on God. Or daily Bible reading. Just simply open the Bible and whatever program you want to use, whether you read a minute a day, whether you read 5 minutes, whether you read a chapter or a book, or you read a particular section, or you use a devotional book, however you read the Bible. And let those words saturate you and let the Holy Spirit make those words come alive. And that's a way of focusing on God. And it's amazing what a minute, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, I don't count. God's not keeping me count, but an opportunity to focus on God and allow God to do that. Or form a small group of Christians. I know there are, women's circles? That's a small group. Okay. The men have a fellowship group. Come on out to those groups. There's a group we call among us clergy. Sometimes we form a group known as an accountability group that holds us accountable for living the Christian life. And it's a place where you could share your imperfections and say, Let's work together on each other's imperfections, our sins together, and help each other change. It's amazing what we do when we support one another. Or prayer, daily prayer, whether it be in a corner somewhere using a devotional book or a prayer book of some sort. And again, however much time you want to spend, but to spend a little time focusing on God. Or I know of a person, you know what their daily discipline is? Every time the phone rings, they think about God first before they answer. And that's what they do. I mean, it's a simple discipline. Or service. You know, volunteer. I mean, we have a number of wonderful service opportunities, whether it be an interfaith food ministry, whether it be being part of the group that serves a hot meal at Hospitality House, or just go to Hospitality House or Habitat for Humanity, or there's a number of opportunities throughout this community. But service, caring for the other person, or caring for ourselves even, or opportunities for service even here at Peace Lutheran Church. Or giving of ourselves, whether it be our time, talent, treasures, however we give, or, you know, spending time, again, as a volunteer. Or decide that you go every week during Lent or every week of the year, you're going to learn a new hymn with God and knowing that God is with us every day of our lives. And there are many other disciplines. These aren't the only ones. Practice disciplines that will lead to repentance and deeper relationship with God. Use the ones that work for you. Because it works for me doesn't mean it works for you. So try it. And you don't know if you don't like it if you don't try it, all right? So give it a try. And so what are you doing right now that will help you to repent? What disciplines do you practice that lead and turn you toward God? What helps you to be attentive to God, to focus on God, to make that 180-degree turn towards God? Now, as we repent, we also realize that we will at times fall short. But don't let that faze you. We realize that we continue to be sinners. We realize that we will always be recovering sinners. Yet our repentance falls short and we fail, but God never abandons us. Have you noticed that? The Bible always points that out. Our God has promised to be there, and God is there and continues to be with us. God sent Jesus to call us and to lead us back home to God, and Jesus advocates for us and continues to lead us to repentance and to relationship with God. Did you notice that story about, hard to say, apple tree? But that's what this translation uses. Other translations is, it's a fig tree, all right? Maybe you've heard of the fig tree story. Well, we'll call it the apple tree story since that's the translation we use today. But, you know, it's an apple tree that fails to bear fruit. And what does the owner say? I've taken care of this tree for 3 years and it hasn't bear fruit. Let's just cut it down and toss it into, as Matthew would say, the unquenchable fire at that point. Yet the gardener, and you know who the gardener is, right? In terms of this particular story, it's a metaphor for Jesus. The gardener intervenes and offers to work one more year on the apple tree. And of course, if the apple tree fails to bear fruit, then cut it down. But I know the gardener just as well as you know the gardener. When the owner says cut it down again, a year later, if the tree doesn't bear fruit, you know what the gardener's going to say? Oh, wait a minute. No. Let me work the ground around it. Let me put some fertilizer on it, and let's wait another year. Isn't that how it's going to work? I mean, that's what that story is about. So we, all of us, continue to be works in progress. We continue to repent daily, and we continue to receive another opportunity to bear fruit, to be the kind of people that God wants us to be. And so simultaneously, this apple tree story reminds us that we need to bear fruit. So what are the fruits of repentance? Another way I like to ask this question is, if Jesus makes a difference in your lives, then show it. Isn't that what bearing fruit is about? Showing it. How do we show that Jesus makes a difference in our lives? Well, it could be simply we love each other, we love the stranger, and we love ourselves. Or maybe it's the hospitality and the welcome we extend to the stranger or to the person who's on the margins, who comes into our lives at various points. Or to be willing to forgive and to work for reconciliation. Or it's back to service. There's something about service in terms of caring for another person that really moves us, not only to share the fruits of the Spirit, but also moves us towards God. Or maybe it's being able to testify to what Jesus has done for my life or for each of our lives, and simply telling a simple story about one's own relationship with Jesus Christ. Or maybe it's just being joyful. Or maybe it's because how we fight with one another. You know, one of the things that always bugs me about how politicians fight, it can get pretty dirty. We Christians, when we fight, it should be pretty clean. I mean, we should be able to disagree, but we shouldn't be attacking one another. We should be able to talk about it and work through it and then realize, well, maybe we can't come to consensus, but we're still brothers and sisters in Christ. And maybe that's how people will know that these are the fruits of the Spirit among us. Yes. Oh, that's interesting. Ah, thought I'd lost the page. Yeah. Or maybe it's just the simple quality of the relationships we have one another. I'm in relationship with you, you with me, and, you know, because of our love for one another, those are the fruits of the Spirit. The ways that we show that Jesus makes a difference in our lives is how we give Jesus away to others and how we exhibit the fruits of the Spirit. The fruits of repentance can no longer be kept quiet. Too often, Lutherans are known as quiet Christians, and really, we really aren't. I mean, historically, we've been really pretty prominent in these United States. I mean, we have the largest social service organization when you combine all the Lutheran social service agencies together in the nation. That's part of our history as Lutherans. Now we have to take it down from a corporate level to an individual level. Show that Jesus makes a difference in our lives and bear the fruits. If you want other people to experience your joy of knowing Jesus, if you desire people to know the love you've experienced through Jesus, if you want Peace Lutheran Church to be known far and wide, then you need to show that Jesus makes a difference in your life. Allow the God in you to be alive so that other people can meet and see the God in them. Bear fruit worthy of repentance. So God gives us life. Unfortunately, sin leads us to death. So Jesus calls us to repent, to turn around, and to return to God. Repentance leads us to God, to life, and away from sin. Through repentance, Jesus meets us and leads us to life today, tomorrow, and always. Amen.